Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, no new COVID-19 related deaths have been recorded in the north for the fourth day in a row. A Donegal childcare provider has described today's funding announcement as a huge relief for the sector locally. The Bishop of Raphoe has given reassurances to parishioners in Donegal that efforts are ongoing to provide a safe environment for when religious services resume at the end of the month. Concern has been raised over salmon fish being struck with a rare disease that has emerged in stocks in the River Lennon in Donegal, and the Road Safety Authority says it's worried over new figures which show 64 people have died in Irish roads so far this year. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, no new COVID-19 related deaths have been recorded in the north for the fourth day in a row. The death toll remains at 534. There were 13 new cases, bringing the total to 4,818. The last death from the coronavirus in Northern Ireland was announced on Saturday. A Donegal childcare provider has described today's funding announcement as a huge relief for the sector locally. A €75 million funding package designed to help providers operate with less parental income has been agreed by Cabinet today. Creches are scheduled to reopen on June the 29th, with the children of frontline workers to be prioritised. All registered centre-based services reopening between June the 29th and the beginning of September can avail of this grant. Patrice McBride, owner of Fairy Tales Daycare in Milford and Rathmullen, says while other issues still need to be teased out, this is a major step forward.
Absolutely delighted, and I suppose a sense of relief as well is probably the first two feelings that we've got as a service provider.
Are there still concerns though surrounding, you know, different hours and how you'll have to extend them potentially for the likes of, you know, schools and that sort of thing?
Yeah, with the Department of Education Skills, it's probably a little bit unclear, but I can see that they're, you know, they need to get their guidelines to us in their time as well. But for us, from an early years perspective with the Department of Early Years, I personally feel as a provider that we've got a fair package here now to reopen on June the 29th. And that was a concern for us going forward, because the capacity was a huge issue for us to support the parents that were needing us. We would need a certain percentage to come back in order for us to pay our wages. So with this now, it just feels that we've got a great safety blanket going forward now for reopening fully on June the 29th. So that's a sense of relief, huge relief for us.
Because I'm sure this interim period has been very difficult for yourself and other people in the sector.
It has, and more so for the parents that needed our support and we weren't in an ability to do it. But I do feel that we've been through this pandemic, we've been given a fair chance to be able to support our staff team. We've employed them fully through it, and we've been able to reach out to our parents remotely. But being able to now to be able to go back on the June 29th and get back to the job that we're doing and the role that we play is of huge importance to us.
Rapid access to testing is needed as the country eases lockdown restrictions, according to a leading expert. The call comes as debate around the use of face masks continues and whether their use should be mandatory. Professor Sam McConkey says that should be led to, that has could lead to a backlash and people should be encouraged to use them. He also believes testing is key to controlling the virus from now on.
That doesn't just mean that the tests are done quickly. It also means that if somebody's got fever, that they promptly go to the doctor.
The Bishop of Raphoe has given reassurances to parishioners in Donegal that efforts are ongoing to provide a safe environment for when religious services resume at the end of the month. Priests will have to wear face masks when giving out communion, and people won't shake hands for the sign of peace as part of new guidelines. More mass times are also being considered to ensure social distancing is maintained. Bishop Al McGuckian says while various measures are on the table, each parish will be looked at individually.
What churches have already been thinking of doing, and some have already put it in place, is basically roping off two out of every three pews, so that, you know, and that way you would have, if a person was attending Mass individually, there would be one at either end of every pew. Of course, if a family or a household unit was attending, they could fill a pew all themselves. So it's every place is different. Remember, we have big urban centres, particularly here in Donegal and in a few other places, where it will be really quite difficult. Well, first of all, to know, not everybody will be ready to come back. There will be some people who still are vulnerable, and older people who would be wise not to come back just yet. Take our cathedral here in Letterkenny, or indeed the Irish Martyrs. Even the cathedral, which is a very big building, if we abide by the 2 meter distance, you might be talking about a maximum of 100 people. I say an 8 a.m. Mass on a Monday or a Friday in the cathedral, and there's more than 100 people.
The Irish Hairdressers Federation is welcoming comments from the Taoiseach that hairdressers could reopen sooner than planned. Leo Radker has confirmed the government is working on plans to bring forward the reopening of hairdressers, but it depends on keeping COVID-19 under control. Danielle Kennedy from the Irish Hairdressers Federation says they're looking forward to be back in business.
We are very ready to reopen. We have been closed for 13 weeks now, and especially the last couple of weeks, us at the Irish Hairdressers Federation, we've been very proactive in preparing our members for reopening. We've been gearing towards an earlier reopening date, and preparing our members for that by doing online health and safety courses with them.
Concerns have been raised about whether summer provision for children with special educational needs can go ahead. Minister Joe McHugh has said he'll bring a memo to Cabinet on Friday with full details on how the programme will operate. But Sinn Féin TD Donica O'Leary says it's his information that only 5 or 6 schools have signed up.
Schools are not signing up for this programme because they have no information, and likewise teachers. My fear is that the numbers will not add up for the ordinary programme, even the numbers there, not to mind the expanded programme.
Fine Gael claims carbon emissions for 2020 will fall by 7% this year because of working from home. It comes as their negotiators are discussing a desired 7% annual reduction in government formation talks. It's one of the last remaining outstanding issues before a programme for government can be finalised. Green Party leader Eamon Ryan has said he believes an environmental programme that doesn't leave rural Ireland behind can be agreed.
This is not a hardship posting. This is not a negative story. This is going to be good for rural Ireland. We can meet our targets. We can meet our obligations. I don't believe we have a choice. If we were to go the other way and say, count us out, we don't want to be really Irish and green. We just want to kind of go halfway in our measures. At some point, the rest of the world will rightly say, well, they're not actually Irish and green in what they do.
One of the organisers of a peaceful walk in Donegal in support of Black Lives Matter has defended the event taking place during the current climate. The walk is getting underway at the Backstrand Beach in Fulcarra tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Participants are being asked to wear face coverings and are also being encouraged to practice social distancing. Similar demonstrations in the north over the weekend raised serious health concerns regarding people congregating in large numbers during the pandemic. But Shannon McGee says all risks involved have been assessed and is confident the walk will be done in a safe manner.
We have had a number of meetings amongst the people who have decided that we should organise this, and we have gone through the ins and outs of all the risks involved in it. We have stewards coming. We're having sanitizer there. We're going to be not only 2 meters but 3 meters apart from each other, constantly reminded, and the entire event will be stewarded as well. We're not going to have groups of more than 15 people in one place. They'll be in separate places on the beach.
Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson has told the COVID-19 committee that his consumer insurance contracts bill will be very helpful for businesses who face a battle in court with their insurers as some refuse to pay out claims for interruption to business due to coronavirus. The legislation, when enacted, would increase transparency and strengthen protection for consumers, motorists and SMEs in their insurance contracts, was signed into law by the President almost 6 months ago. However, the finance minister confirmed last month that he would not commence the legislation. Deputy Doherty asked ISMA CEO Neil McDonald to tell the committee what impact this would have on businesses.
in relation to a piece of legislation that I proposed here in this House that passed this House 6 months ago. It was the Insurance Contracts Bill. It then went on to pass the Dáil, and our President, Michael D. Higgins, signed it into law on St. Stephen's Day last year. It was described as the Alliance of Insurance Reform as a game changer, and the legislation, as you know, offered new protection for consumers and for SMEs in their insurance contracts, including what it did was it required insurance companies to inform small businesses of any third-party claims made against them. It gave the SMEs the right to give evidence in disputing those claims, and it also made it clear where there was ambiguity in a contract that the contract had to be read in favour of SMEs, and I'm sure that many vintners would have liked that legislation as they're battling it with insurance companies in the courts at the present moment. You probably have heard that the Minister for Finance, after meeting with the insurance industry, has decided not to give effect to that legislation. Can I ask you what signal, if any, that sends out to the companies, the small, medium enterprises that you represent?
We're most unhappy that that legislation has not been commenced. It has been the case for a long time that insurance companies have announced get-outs, so strikes, acts of God, and whatnot. So it is not acceptable to us, we in the context of the denials of certain insurances now, business continuity and business interruption, and they're all contract-specific, so I'm not going to get into the long grass of that with Janelle Deputy, but there is no reason why the pandemic should be used as an excuse for not commencing that legislation.
The EU's chief negotiators accused Britain of asking for too much during Brexit talks. Michel Barnier says the UK is looking for a trade relationship with the European Union that's very close to that of a member state. He's told a forum in Brussels that they'll not allow this cherry picking. The Road Safety Authority says it's worried after new figures show 64 people have died on Irish roads so far this year. It's the same figure from the same period last year, but road usage was down by around 70% in the last 3 months due to COVID-19 restrictions. The RSA has launched a new campaign with the Gardaí, urging motorists to be wary of increased traffic volumes as the country continues to reopen. RSA chairperson Liz O'Donnell says many towns have new road layouts to accommodate cyclists, which motorists should be aware of as well.
More priority is being given to pedestrians and cyclists to share the road with motorists. And right around the country, councils have been invited by the National Transport Authority to submit plans to provide more protected space for cyclists and pedestrians. The Road Safety Authority supports those measures.
It's 14 minutes past five and time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. The Merseyside derby will be held behind closed doors at Everton's Goodison Park when the Premier League season resumes. There had been fears fans might try to congregate outside, with Liverpool having the chance to clinch the title against their rivals. But a safety certificate has now been granted, meaning it won't be played at a neutral venue on June 21st. In a statement, the Merseyside police have urged supporters to stay at home on the day of the match due to fears over any further spread of COVID-19. Stoke say their manager, Michael O'Neill, will remain in virtual contact with his players ahead of the resumption of the Championship later this month. The ex-Shamrock Rovers boss will self-isolate for the next couple of weeks after testing positive for COVID-19 yesterday. O'Neill travelled with Stoke for a friendly against Manchester United, but United insist none of their squad came in contact with the Northern Irishman at their training base. Former Finn Harps player Michael O'Connor has returned to Linfield from Waterford. The striker had been named the Blues captain this year and played four games before the League of Ireland season was halted. O'Connor spent 6 months in 2018 on loan at Harps from Shamrock Rovers before joining Linfield. Dunfanaghy Youths FC have been without playing facilities for 2 years, but their proposal for a new pitch and clubhouse has been met with opposition. Objections have been lodged on the planned development at Horn Head, but the most notable one is from Republic of Ireland manager Martin O'Neill, who owns an old derelict house close by. O'Neill highlights the environment and safety as his primary concerns around the application. Here's Dunfanaghy's Danny Ferry.
We wouldn't have put an application in unless we thought that we would be successful, to be quite honest, Greg, because, I mean, there's a lot of time, effort and money, and people have been very good. The amount of work that's went on behind the scenes to get it this far, Greg, is phenomenal.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I mean, as you say, we were homeless for 2 years, and we managed to play our games away from home. Like, we had a successful Cup and League run at under 18 level, and the sad thing about it was when we won that league, we weren't in a position to actually go back and try and retain that league title. We had no facilities.
To golf, the GAA Tour returns tomorrow for the first time in nearly 3 months. The world's top three golfers, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm and Brooks Koepka, will all play alongside each other. COVID-19 safety measures mean there will be no crowds. Ryder Cup winning captain Paul McGinley thinks this could present the toughest challenge for a lot of the players.
The silence is a very difficult thing to adapt to as a professional athlete. You know, we're used to the roars of the crowd. I mean, even when we put the ball in the hole, we generally put our hand up. I mean, what's going to happen there? Dealing with that environment is a mental challenge, and to seeing who's going to be ready for that and who can deal with that best.
Organisers of the Olympics say next year's event will be simplified to ensure that it's accepted by the world. The Games have been pushed back because of the coronavirus pandemic. Tokyo Chief Executive Toshimura Muto says they will not be done with grand splendour, but he's insisted they've yet to come up with concrete ideas on how to do it. While in tennis, Roger Federer has vowed to put his latest injury setback behind him, saying he'll return to the court next year. The 20-time Grand Slam singles champion has seen his 2020 season ended by further knee surgery. 38-year-old Federer has confirmed that he's undergone a procedure on his right knee after a setback in his recovery. And that's it from the sports desk for today here on Highland. We'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, concern has been raised over salmon fish being struck with a rare disease that has emerged in stocks in the River Lennon in Donegal. Inland Fisheries Ireland is appealing to anglers and others to report sightings of fish infected by the red skin disease, which shows discoloration, bleeding and ulceration on the underbelly. Dr. Paddy Gargan, Senior Research Officer at Inland Fisheries Ireland, is urging anglers and fishery owners to be on alert.
Fish are lethargic. They swim around, you know, in pools, very obvious. They're not hiding, you know, like normal fish in the river. They sometimes get secondary fungal infection, and which will lead to the death of the fish. So this has been happening across Europe, Norway, Sweden, Denmark and Scotland, and we got it in 17 Irish rivers last year, and it's now re-emerged in the last 2 weeks on a range of rivers on both in the east and the west coast of Ireland. And we're asking anglers and fishery owners to be aware of it, and we have an email address called salmonhealth@fisheriesireland.ie, and we're asking them to report the incidents, and we have been going doing some disease testing to see can we find out the cause. Now, there may not be a lot that can be done in that these fish have the disease when they come in from the sea, but we're trying to get a handle on the rivers that have it, which are the worst affected rivers where we can do some disease testing.
Work has recommenced on restoring Swan Park in Buncrana. The popular amenity was badly damaged during the devastating floods of August 2017 and had to be closed to the public. Work had been stalled due to COVID-19 but has started again this week with a focus on flood defence measures. Local councillor Jack Murray says that while it could be a while before the park is fully restored to its former glory, it's encouraging to see progress.
Workers are able to get in to the river and do this much needed work. This is one very critical phase of the complete restoration of the park. In the autumn time, the contractor will be appointed to replace the bridge. There's a temporary bridge here at the minute, but the old stone bridge will be going back in. And then after that, the complete restoration works will begin with the restoration of the footpaths and all the greenery around the area. And thankfully, we will see Swan Park restored to its former glory. And of course, it's a much, much loved amenity, both locally in Buncrana, across Inishowen, and indeed much further afield. So this is very, very great news and great development.
But from what you're saying, when you take into consideration all the different bits of work that need to be done, it will be some time before it is fully restored.
Yeah, realistically, it could be next summer, really, before the Swan Park that we all know and love is fully back. And it has been a long, drawn-out process since it was absolutely devastated in the floods of 2017. But the community rallied together, public representatives on a cross-party basis rallied together, and the council staff did a huge, huge amount of work. And it was long, and there was many obstacles that had to be overcome, but it was a fantastic achievement by everybody, and it shows what a strong community can do. Well, it will be a longer wait than we could have anticipated. Nonetheless, it's a great day, and it's a great development, and I can't wait to the day that Swan Park is the park that we all remembered, and we can all enjoy it, visitors and locals alike.
Donegal County Council has today launched both the Town and Village Renewal Scheme and CLAR programmes and is urging people to submit proposals. The programmes aim to support rural economies and communities in their post-COVID recovery and help rural towns and villages adapt to how they do business and how people can come together safely and as a community. Catherine Gaffney has more.
These funding programmes have been described as timely and welcome and will help community groups and businesses deal with the challenges faced by COVID-19, supporting economic and social recovery within the county. The funding available through Town and Village Renewal and CLAR will continue to build on the objectives of the local economic and community plan in nurturing a place for people where business and communities can support each other, enhancing buildings and streets, providing an attractive environment to visit and to live, and increasing footfall into our towns and villages. Expressions of interest are now being invited from communities for project proposals in towns and villages, with a focus on interventions that can respond to the new challenges associated with COVID-19, assist in the economic and social recovery, enhance the places we live and work, and support our towns and villages and rural communities. Further details on both schemes can be found on the Council's website.
And finally, Councillor Noreen McGarvey has been announced as the new Cathaoirleach of the Glendies Municipal District. She takes over from Councillor John Hamish O'Farrey, with Councillor Mary Therese Gallagher also confirmed as last Cathaoirleach. Councillor McGarvey says it's a great ending to her first term as councillor.
A proud day, and it's an honour for me now to have been selected today as Cathaoirleach of the Glendies Municipal District. And in particular, too, I suppose, to have been proposed by my party colleague and Councillor Anthony Molloy, and seconded then by Councillor McGill-Asbuck. So, no, I'm looking forward. I had a great year in my first term as councillor, working alongside the other five members here in the municipal district. I'm just looking forward now to a new venture now in the year ahead.
And indeed, there will be a lot that needs to be looked at, particularly following the COVID-19 pandemic in the year ahead.
Of course, obviously, Michaela, that a lot of projects and, you know, even the basic council works and that had to be put on hold due to the restrictions. Probably now over the last 3 to 4 weeks that a number of the workers have been able to return and to continue some of this work now. And we certainly will see by the amount of road surfacing that has actually been done last week alone, you know. So we're slowly easing back into things, but certainly, you know, we probably won't be able to move as quickly as we would have normally done, but still we're very mindful that these projects still have to continue and to get them finished and completed before the end of the year.
Elsewhere, Councillor Micheál Naughton has been elected as the new Cathaoirleach of the Donegal Municipal District, and Councillor Barry Sweeney as last Cathaoirleach. Weather now: showers this evening, some heavy with a risk of hail and thunder. Some showers or longer spells of rain early tonight also. However, it will become drier later, with clear spells developing and lowest temperatures of 7 to 9 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, no new COVID-19 related deaths have been recorded in the north for the fourth day in a row. The death toll there remains 534. A Donegal childcare provider has described today's funding announcement as a huge relief for the sector locally. A €75 million funding package designed to help providers operate with less parental income has been agreed by Cabinet today. One of the organisers of a peaceful walk in Donegal in support of Black Lives Matter has defended the event taking place during the current climate. Participants are being asked to wear face coverings and are also being encouraged to practice social distancing. And concern has been raised over salmon fish being struck with a rare disease that has emerged in stocks in the River Lennon in Donegal. Inland Fisheries Ireland is appealing to anglers and others to report sightings of fish infected by red skin disease, which shows discoloration, bleeding and ulceration on the underbelly. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Wednesday evening, June the 10th. The death has taken place of David Samuel Crockett, 58, Coshquin Road, Derry. Due to government guidelines, wake and funeral are strictly private. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of which to the Air Ambulance or Muscular Dystrophy, care of Adair and Neely funeral directors. The death has taken place of Sean Gallagher, 46, Crohan Heights, Lifford. In accordance with current restrictions, a house and funeral will be strictly private. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam on Friday morning at 11 o'clock on clonleeparish.com/webcam. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley funeral directors. The death has taken place of Anna Quigley, née Doherty, Somerville Healthcare, Strandhill, County Sligo, and late of Crehennan, Quigley's Point, County Donegal. Due to current restrictions, reposing, prayer service and burial are strictly private. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Moville Methodist Church Hall Restoration Fund online at feelies.ie/pay. The death has taken place of Claudia Nee, Wood Road, Letterkenny. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial will be strictly private. Funeral mass will be streamed live from St Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning at churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to Donegal Diabetes Association, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Padder O'Donnell, Cabra, Glebe, Churchill. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral is strictly private. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to the Parkinson Society, Donegal branch, care of Con McDade and Sons, funeral director or any family member. And the death has taken place of Mary Farn, née McDowell, 160, Drumaway, Greencastle and formerly Castle Forward, Newton Cunningham. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are strictly private.